Offline is brought to you by OneSkin. When it comes to skincare, short-term fads don't deliver long-term results. Science does. That's why you need OneSkin. Their formulas are powered by the OS1 peptide, a patented peptide built on longevity science, proven to target aging at the cellular level. It's not about adding extra steps to your routine. It's about swapping in smarter ones that support natural cellular repair that keeps your skin looking and feeling better as you get older.
I really like the lip mask that they have, and I like the moisturizer that is for the whole body.
Mm. Known for cult-like formulas like OS1 Body, OS1 Face, and OS1 Eye, OneSkin stands out for their science-first approach to aging, validated in 4 separate clinical studies, delivering hydration, barrier strengthening, and visible improvements to the skin with every product. Every formula is certified for sensitive skin, dermatologist-tested, free from over 1,500 irritating ingredients, and awarded the National Eczema Association Seal of Acceptance. You get powerful results without irritation or harsh side effects. Customers consistently rave about how their skin is smoother, firmer, and healthier looking with results that get better over time, improving both the appearance and the overall health of their skin. No wonder OneSkin's products have over 10,000 five-star reviews. Born from over 10 years of longevity research, OneSkin's OS1 peptide is proven to target the cells that cause the visible signs of aging, helping you unlock your healthiest skin now and as you age. And for a limited time, OneSkin's making it even easier to stay consistent with 15% off when you use code OFFLINE at oneskin.co/offline. That's 15% off with code OFFLINE. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
How have you been feeling since the Minneapolis stuff has gone down? Have you been processing it?
I don't think the next question is being asked, which is like, how many fucking migrants have been fucking shot in the head also? Yeah. Like, that's the question.
And the detention centers are, it's that, like in a whole other.
I understand. I don't want to go like, you know, white privilege. I mean, that's, you know, I'm from Cumtown. Right, like I'm from a problematic white guy podcast, but it's just like, do we not, we have to ask the next question? I mean, because like I grew up in the Southwest, and I grew up around a lot of Latinos, and like they're just people that want to make more money for their families.
Yeah,
and I think about the ICE guys, and I think about like what it must be like to have a job where there's a kid screaming, crying. And you're like arresting their parents.
I know.
What is that job like? Like, why, like getting that job? And it's just like, we abolish ICE. They're gonna reintegrate into society. We don't even know their faces.
I'm Jon Favreau, and you just heard from this week's guest, Adam Friedland, comedian and host of The Adam Friedland Show. Some of you may know Adam. He was one of the co-hosts of a podcast called Cumtown for many years. He now hosts The Adam Friedland Show, just a YouTube show where he does long-form interviews with politicians, celebrities, entertainers, all kinds of different people. He's got some really big name guests. He also had me on the show recently. And he is hilarious, as you might expect. But also, I think I wanted to have him on because his interviewing style, he really like gets people to open up, and he's funny and he makes jokes, but he's also, he's like very respectful of his guests, and he is good at sort of drawing people out, making them feel comfortable, and then really trying to understand who they are and getting them to say things they don't say in the typical, you know, media tours that a lot of prominent people go on. So this was maybe one of the funniest conversations I've had on the show. We could have talked for another couple hours. It's hard to actually describe what we talked about. So I think you're just going to have to listen. And trust me, you're going to love it. Here's Adam Friedland. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I did your show. You did my show.
Yeah.
Completed the circle jerk.
Dude, yeah, absolutely. It's the 69 of
podcasts. The 69 of podcasts.
This talk is show, whatever this is.
Man. Whatever this is.
It's a real talk show.
How would you describe The Adam Friedland Show for people who
It's the smartest.
The smartest.
Most important. It's an Algonquin round table. It's oh my God. It's like a firing line. Mm-hmm. It's Foucault and Chomsky. It's basically that.
Yeah. It's deep.
Yeah. It's basically, no, I do a long form interview show with celebrities and politicians and
just
John.
Everyone.
Yeah, we were scraping the bottom of the barrel.
With me.
Yeah.
Before that.
You're neither. No. Yeah. We had a fun time.
We had a great time.
I haven't seen it.
Riff Sesh for the Bros. Why didn't you watch it?
Because
it's mad funny.
It's like I only have so much time to consume content, and content with me,
this is
content with me in
bullshit.
It.
No, this is I didn't send it to Obama. That's what you're saying right now. I thought the agreement was
it is the agreement.
Would send it directly to President Barack Obama.
You know what? I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I haven't watched this shit, and maybe you might like it.
Yeah. I got a lot of messages from friends, and none of them thought it was really funny.
It's very funny.
They're like, you did. I think they were all surprised. They're like, you did okay. They thought you were gonna destroy me or something like that.
We had a kitchen table conversation.
We did have a kitchen table conversation. Someone said that they appreciated
Obama said that
we did the Nalen. There was a Nalen Palin reference, which I forgot about.
There was two. There was a callback. You did.
That's what someone said.
I dapped you on the callback. Yeah. Well, because
you used it again with Scott Jennings.
I can't stop thinking about it.
He did not pick up on the Nalen Palin thing.
Yeah.
I thought that Scott would talk more about that. We'll get to him. I want to talk about him.
He's having a right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Before you did.
What's his deal? He did Iraq or something?
He did Iraq.
Yeah. It was his idea?
That was his idea.
Oh my God. He gave Cheney the idea.
Yeah. And Rumsfeld.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my boy, Scott.
You did a comedy podcast before the show, Comptown. Yeah. And you once shit your pants on air?
Right before.
Yeah, would you say that's the moment you're best known for in Comptown?
I hype it up and now I have to stop talking. It's just like, if you're saying it, Obama's watching. Like, what are you talking
about? Everyone is talking about
it's
it.
Just not
if
in
you
front
Google
of Obama,
Adam Friedland
not in
shit
front of
or poop, oh, you're going to get a lot of hits.
No, I'm most known for being the most pivotal, funniest one. And just the linchpin. I did a very immature podcast and then somehow I've
just landed here.
It really was not calculated. It was a series of events.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Accidents.
Tell me about the names that lost out to Comptown.
I don't know. Nick chose the worst name. Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, it was like kind of smart because they didn't like, they couldn't write it in the newspaper.
So you could kind of go under the radar.
Yeah, but Sav was on Seth Meyers. He said it on TV. It's the Trump era. You can say anything. Yeah.
I was going to say, you got like, get different spellings. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. It's free speech.
You know, people could be like, it's Comptown.
Cumed. Yeah, he did that for Kimmel, dude. He did some free speech. Yeah. I don't know. It became very a success, like a beloved. I've actually listened to we never listened to it. We thought it was bad.
Yeah.
But, and then the people that liked it online, they were annoying. So we're like, it has to be bad. But I've only like listened to it in the last year and a half, and it's the funniest thing ever.
It's hilarious.
He's a genius. I mean, we were sitting there like upset. We're like, this sucks, and we suck. When can we stop doing this? Nick's like, can I get a job at Radio Shack again?
When you,
but you it was like, not fulfilling.
So this is like, so you did comedy for a while. You are now into sort of you're like news and politics adjacent.
Yeah.
With some of your guests. But like you lived in DC for a while. You went to GW.
I went to GW. Yeah.
You were like a political person back when.
We were fellow residents of DC. I was there when.
Were you charmed by the nation's capital?
Your old man won. I was so charmed. I mean, when they just. The Soul Cycles came. I mean, we did great things with it.
You were there for Soul Cycle?
Yeah.
I had left by then.
Every time I go back, it's like it is ethnic cleansing. I mean, it's horrible with it. It's just a completely different city. I was actually there when they built the Target Columbia Heights.
Oh, I remember that.
I went to a punk show.
I've been to that. Yeah.
Basement my freshman year of college before the Target.
Uh-huh.
And it was terrifying. On the Green Line, the Columbia Heights stop, I was like, I'm going to, this is scary.
I've gone too far.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know where the hell I am. There were no street lights or, you know, there's a tumbleweed. Now there's Soul Cycle everywhere.
They've gentrified the shit out of that city.
DC has changed. DC has changed. I think, what is it? Citizens United, probably?
Do you think that did it?
I do kind of think so.
Yeah.
It's just a flooding in of money, probably.
So much money.
Yeah, it has to be.
It's a very small city in that, like, it's a small city population-wise, but also because everyone is political or so many people are in politics. I feel like it's more of a company town than almost any other city.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe San Francisco with tech.
Some of the worst people on earth.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why eventually I was
and ugly. Don't get me started.
Oh my gosh.
The talent.
You're like a DC 9.
I'm an 11 in DC. Yeah, yeah, and I sure. happen to be a LA negative 3.
Same. Yeah. It's tough.
No,
out here.
I remember it's, yeah.
Did you ever people you
like,
to go, you
like
ever
legislative
to
pl- aides like getting like making like $23,000 a year and then saying that they have like someone's number in their BlackBerry and they're like, I'm important. And I'm like, you're a loser.
It's the first thing you ask someone when you meet someone in DC, rent. You're like, oh, what do you do? Who do you work for?
Oh, shut up.
Who do you work for?
I work for the Iraq War. Like, I have the CEO of the Iraq War's phone number. Isn't that cool?
Blackwater.
And I'm like, you're still ugly.
Did you ever want to go into politics?
Yeah, I thought I liked politics a lot growing up, and then I moved there. Freshman year, you remember that you run for like your like floor representative of your dorm?
No, I didn't do that.
There's like a guy, not you, but there's a guy campaigning, like it's the third day of college.
Yeah.
And he's like shaking hands, and you're like, this guy's a dildo. And I'm like this, and then they all like got internships at like the Bush White House and stuff. Yeah. Like those guys. And then Barack Obama ruined it.
Was it DC and like the people in DC that turned you off from like going into politics, or were you just like, this is not for me?
Yeah, there's something about that just like it's pretty rare. I mean, like I meet a lot of politicians now doing the talk shows. So it's like it's pretty rare you meet like someone that's a real one, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know? I think Big Z, I got a sense that he was, because I'm completely full of shit as a person. That's my advantage in doing right. the interviews, I think. But yeah. I completely lack substance. I know exactly how I mask it and cover it up. I'm a closeted homosexual. I don't know why I said Obama. I'm just kidding. Obama, I'm just,
you do a shitload of research, though.
I do a lot of research.
Like
but
a
like,
scary
But I know
research.
When someone is trying to sound smart.
Yeah.
And I know when there's like no basis for it. But I don't even know if it's an advantage for me. I think people just know when someone's full of shit now.
Yeah.
And I think that that's going to have to be something that's considered in D.C. at a certain point. Even when Trump's lying, he's not full of shit. You know what I mean?
Right. That is what people...
He's authentically lying.
People yeah. say that about Trump is that, like, I know he's not telling the truth, but he's not, like...
He's lying for
like,
us.
I believe, yeah. yeah. Or I believe him.
Yeah.
Like, I believe his I believe his bullshit.
Yeah.
I know the lies aren't
But
right.
then on the other hand, like, he's like, we're going to take Venezuela's oil. It's like, yeah, we kind of always do. But the honesty is like...
We're going
to
take it.
To some extent, it's like, I've never heard someone be honest about it.
Yeah, it's not like,
I'm like, what are you doing? You're supposed to lie.
Like, he could say something like, we are helping them rebuild their oil infrastructure, and then hopefully they will do some, you know, yeah. they'll do some business with us,
this
and
is
everyone
be
will
great
benefit.
For them. Yeah.
But instead, he's just like, no, we're taking it.
We're stealing.
Yeah, we're out of the ground. We're going to put it in barrels, even though that's not even how people transport oil anymore. And we're going to ship the barrels right here.
I've never heard anyone
do that. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to put the money in a Qatari bank, and then that's it.
Yeah, yeah. And put in my shit coin.
Put in my shit coin.
That's so whatever trashy. That
is. It is a trashy way.
It's so trashy. Do you see Eric Adams made like $3 million off of Stop Anti-Semitism coin?
He's another one. He's another one who just does it. He's learned from Trump that like, who the fuck cares?
Oh my.
I'm leaving and I'm going, I'm leaving office. I'm heading to Turkey.
He already didn't give a fuck before he left.
Yeah.
Apparently, he might come back into power. I might go to Guantanamo for this. But apparently he had 8 phones on him at all times. For
sometimes
different crime.
Yeah, you need one for
your
crime.
He had a bag
to,
of 8 phones for crimes.
You don't want to mix up your crimes.
Yeah, this is the turkey line, this is the campaign fundraiser line.
So,
he's awesome. Zoran is boring.
So
he's following the rules. I offered him a hat from the show when he came in. And he's
no, he didn't want the hat?
I can't take a gift over $10.
No way.
I'm like, just shut up.
Oh, wow,
it.
What a fucking
just
stickler.
Just go to Turkey, you
come
pussy.
Come on, man.
No. He's I actually...
Did you... Like, well...
That's
you,
my
you
best
basically
friend.
Live the dream of every bearded Brooklyn leftist by
well,
interviewing...
I can't naturally... I have low testosterone. I can't grow a beard.
Interviewing Zoran Mamdani.
What was it like? Bearded Brooklyn leftist? Mm. Come on, dude. We're all right wing now in New York.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. That's the cool...
Bearded Brooklyn Trump supporters.
I don't know what they are. I don't even think they're even Trump. I think they're just like...
It's like, you know, fuck it all kind of thing.
I don't know.
Zoran's a sellout. Zoran's a... centrist show.
They're like Ceausescu or something. I don't know. they're like, no, but with him, like we both like soccer. right? We both like the same soccer team. And this player that used to play for Arsenal sent a video in. This guy, Hector Bellerin, and the president of the team, Real Betis in Spain, brought two jerseys for me and the mayor.
That's
and,
sick.
And he came by and he was like, "This is for you and Senor Adams." But he didn't know that. He didn't know that it was the new mayor.
That's really funny.
And I hit him up about that, and he's like, "This is my Turkish Airlines." And I was like, "We're best friends. We are best friends. Do so, not worry about the permits. We have a friend in City Hall.
We're good. You guys are good."
No.
So the show started as a joke that you
kind of to make fun of me,
right? You know? And, but now, then at some point, like, it got serious. Talk to me about the show's evolution. Like, when you were like, okay, you know what? I want to try it this. I want to do it this way. This is what I want to get out of this.
Yeah, I don't know. I just found that I enjoyed it. And, like, at first I was, like, not that good at it. And
interviewing's hard.
Well, it's like I do stand-up. So it's, like, the only reference to, like, talking to someone is, like, crowd work. So I'm, like, someone comes, I'm like, what do you do for a living? And then they're like, I'm an elementary school teacher. And you're like, you're a pedophile. You know, like, everyone laughs. It's really fun. It's huge on TikTok. But, like, it's not like an interview, right? Like,
right.
So I had to kind of, like, figure out, like, how to access, like, what talking to a person was like, just as a person. And then
to figure out what socializing was like.
Yeah. And then I don't know. It's just, I kind of try to do something that's a little bit, there's enough podcasts, right? So, like, there's, like, you don't want to do just another thing. So you just want to do something that's a little bit unique. And so I try to kind of make it distinct from all the other shows that you see online. And I don't book, like, other comics. Like, there's, like, a revolving door of other comics on, like, Rogan and Theo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, this is going to be something distinct and that's, like, produced and heavily edited or researched. And, like, and I was like, I'll try. I'm 35. I may as well try.
You're trying.
It's scary.
The set's based on the Dick Cavett show.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know much about the Dick Cavett show, and then I was
Have you watched?
Yes. So after doing your show, I started like digging into some old clips. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
How much were you like intentionally trying to echo?
It was a joke. They were making me into a public intellectual. But then accidentally, it kind of was real too.
Well, that's the thing, is because I experienced your show before knowing anything about Dick Cavett, then when I went back to Dick Cavett, I was like, oh, this is like what Adam's show is becoming. Yeah,
the host isn't funny, and the conversations kind of maybe could be interesting sometimes. No, I mean, like, he talked to people in a way, like people that were famous, in a way where you saw them kind of in a more genuine light and like for who they really are.
Yeah.
And that's kind of something that you could kind of extract through doing a long form interview. And it's really smart for me to do long-form content in an era where people just love...
Just scrolling right past it.
They just love it.
You gotta hook
them. They love things that are over 30 seconds. Yeah.
Everybody sit and watch the whole thing. I watched the... have you seen the Lester Maddox, Jim Brown?
Oh, my God. It's legendary.
Holy shit.
He smacks his ass up.
It's also a tough job for Cavett there to, like, moderate this. For people who don't know, Lester Maddox is, like, this... The racist governor of Georgia, 1970, Jim Brown, NFL, Jim Brown, also a civil rights activist.
Retired to be a civil rights activist and an actor.
Yeah, and then they just go at it about... The thing that struck me about that was watching it again is I'm like, Lester Maddox in that interview is making arguments about race and civil rights that you still hear in different forms from the right today. It's like, I'm not for segregation. I'm just also not for forced integration. I'm in the middle.
It's kind of back.
And you're like, wait, what?
But in our, correct me if you're a little bit older than me, but like in the scope of our lifetimes, that's never been a thing. It kind of feels like it's a thing now.
It is a thing
now. It feels like new.
It is new.
I know it's throwback, but for us, it's like, I never saw this.
Correct. Which is why I was like, I'm like, oh, this is how it used to happen back then.
Oh, yeah. You know, back in the olden days when it was racist.
Right. That was 70, too, right? So the Civil Rights Act had passed, and it was right after King is assassinated, right? And
is it going to be old fashioned to be like, racism is wrong?
Yeah, that is going to,
it's the worst thing.
You're going to be like, what was that? When they were all like,
I still think,
how did
it's
they let Barack
terrible.
Obama be president? Well, instead of going back and being like, how did we have Trump? People are going to be like, how did we get Obama? That was crazy.
The catastrophe. What a national catastrophe.
Did you think about getting Dick Cavett on the show?
He's like apparently 99 yeah, still, or something. Yeah, yeah.
Still kicking.
He's out in Montauk or something, apparently. Oh, I don't know.
You should get him on.
Do you have his number? You know? You can? You have a real company here.
We have a real company.
Can you get me Barack Obama?
I was going to say, we have to get Dick Cavett's number from Barack Obama.
He definitely knows him. They Probably. See each other at Bohemian Grove or wherever they go.
Martha's Vineyard?
Martha's Vineyard. That's what it's called. Yeah, yeah. Bohemian Grove. I forgot the name. It was a nice sounding name.
Offline is brought to you by Ridge. You know, you got these wallets and then they become too thick and then you're sitting on them. You can even have like back problems, you know, because you're like sitting on a wallet on one side and not on the other. Ridge wallets feature a unique, slim, modern design that holds up to 12 cards plus cash. They're made with premium materials like aluminum, titanium, and carbon fiber and come in over 50 plus colors and styles to choose from. All Ridge products have a lifetime warranty. This is literally the last wallet you'll ever have to buy. All Ridge wallets feature RFID blocking technology, protecting you from digital pickpockets. Losing your wallet is the worst, but with the Ridge AirTag attachment, you'll always know exactly where it is before panic mode kicks in. Ridge isn't just about wallets. They create premium, everyday carry essentials like key cases, suitcases, and rings, all built with the same sleek, durable design. No matter what you pick, Ridge has free shipping, a 99-day risk-free trial, and a lifetime warranty on all of their products.
So I just ordered a Ridge wallet and a Ridge keychain that matches, key ring, I guess you'd call it. And I'm very excited to try it out, but go check it out. They have a lot of really cool designs. And, you know, this is now going to be a two-act story where you're going to hear the use of it.
I'm excited.
For that story.
I'm excited to get my own.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get his own.
For a limited time, our listeners get 10% off at Ridge by using code OFFLINE at checkout. Just head to Ridge.com and use code OFFLINE and you're all set. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you. Offline is brought to you by Delete Me. Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everyone vulnerable. It's easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, phone number, and family members' names hanging out on the internet can have actual consequences in the real world and makes everyone vulnerable. More and more, online partisans and nefarious actors will find this data and use it to target political rivals, civil servants, and even outspoken citizens posting their opinions online. With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. The New York Times Wirecutter has named Delete Me their top pick for data removal services. As someone with an active and somewhat unhealthy online presence, privacy is quite important to me, and it probably should be important to you too. Have you ever been a victim of identity theft, harassment, doxing? If you haven't, you probably know someone who has. Delete Me can help. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount for our listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/offline and use promo code offline at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/offline, enter code offline at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/offline, code offline. How are you picking who you want on the show? What's your
pretty much Israel. Tells me what pretty much BB's like, we need
your booker you have a Mossad booker.
We need Steiny from the Nelk Boys this week. It's crazy. He actually, that's ironically, did BB in the middle of the whole thing. He went on the Nelk. it's a bizarre world we live in, right?
It is a bizarre world. It's fucking weird.
Like a chugging podcast. Remember, we used to think Jerry Springer was nasty. Jerry Springer seems erudite.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he went on to be a public official.
Well, he was previously.
Was he before he had the show? I thought he was after he was married.
No. This is one of my heroes.
See, I care.
He was the mayor of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
They thought he was going to be the first Jewish president. In fact, he was beloved. And then he paid for a prostitute in Kentucky with a check. And then he got caught. And then he was so beloved that in a writing campaign, he was reelected.
Okay.
Because he was so awesome.
What year was that?
It's my hero. what year was that? In the 70s?
I think
people were like, that's the Jewish Kennedy. And then he became a newscaster. And then at the end of a news broadcast, he was like on NBC or CBS or something. And he'd do Jerry's Final Thought. And then he started a very Phil Donahue style boring talk show.
And then
they were like, we got to go nasty. And then they beat Oprah in the ratings.
You know,
the chairs were the best.
That's a great doc to be done of like Jerry Springer.
I think I'm reciting to you a documentary that I saw.
it is a very like Trumpy. It's like a preview. It's a foreshadowing of like.
Remember it being when I get sick from school. Sick from school.
Price is Right.
Price is Right. Springer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd be like.
So great when I had Plinko. I was always hoping for Plinko.
Plinko. Yeah, yeah. Bob was just like. Sometimes you could see on his face. He'd be like, this idiot. How does he think a jet ski is $40,000?
Should have gone with the $1.
Yeah, but no, like Springer was like a treat when you were home sick from school. You could see people fighting each other. Having affairs.
You want to be like a Jerry Springer.
No, but I think it was an awesome show.
What's your like prep process like?
It depends. I mean, you do like research, like you have a packet of research, but then you kind of have to take into account like what a normal person knows about the person.
Yeah.
And then you build it back from there. Like I lean a con on, and like a normal person doesn't know what the fucking FTC is or something, you know?
Right.
Or like who she is, but they do know that things are expensive and they know that companies are kind of fucking them over a lot. And then they do know that people are getting fired in the government. So like if you build it from there, then you could be like, oh, this is like an example of a civil servant and like the benefits of like a robust civil service. And
so there's like a story you're
and then this is about. This is someone that's trying to fucking stop things from being so expensive when they're trying to break the rules. And someone also that's just like walked into a department where like it wasn't necessarily since the 80s like that robust, and then she was like, we have to start working now.
Yeah.
We have to stop playing beer pong. And I asked her, I was like, were people like photocopying their butts? Were people was it a Hawaiian shirt day every day? The crazy thing about her, I mean, is that I still think about it to this day, but I don't think I've ever met a good person in my life. Like, I remember I asked her when the last time she lied was, and she was like, I think maybe like elementary school, but like she wasn't lying.
She's like
we're all liars.
She's just like, what she cares about is what she does. That is her life, and she's passionate about it, and she wants to do it right, and she's just like...
But she doesn't even conceive of like, when I was like, you know, did you ever clap back? Because remember, there was like an editorial, there was like an op-ed every day about the FTC chairwoman. And everyone was like, what the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, they hated you. And I was like, did you ever like clap back? And she was like, she looked at me and she was like, I don't know. You like,
what is that going to do?
She's like, I have to win the lawsuit. And it's not even like, I'll see you on the field. It's just more like, my job is I have to do good at the lawsuit.
I know.
Just like everyone is a liar. I mean, we all think we're terrible people. And then we're like, if everyone around us finds out, I'm done for. Right? Right.
Yeah.
And I think she's the only person on earth.
You think she's the only one?
That I've ever met that's like that. it's shocking, in fact.
You get some like legal types who end up being like government official. Like that made me think of like Jerome Powell, right?
Yeah.
Who, and every Fed chair is like this. They're very like, because they're careful about the markets and anything they say could, you know, plunge us into recession. And him coming out then and being like, oh yeah, Donald Trump just tried to fuck me because he's like trying to investigate me was like so notable because I'm like, that fucking guy is supposed to just get up and just read his numbers and just deflect questions. Yeah, but like
boring.
The fact that he has to go out there and be like, yeah, this is, I'm getting screwed. Like that's when you know we're in a pretty crazy fucking time.
Yeah, that's when I found out Trump was being wacko.
Before that, it was
before
like,
that, I was like, this guy is just cruising. I think it is. She knows, like, just like he knows, like a sentence in a speech, like Greenspan could like change the economy.
Yeah.
Like, right? Powell knows that. She also knows,
she's like she could lose a case.
I'm like, I would try to get her to talk shit. And she's like, no, that's against the rules to say that.
Yeah.
I was like, what, do you know all the rules? The rules don't matter anymore. We all have shit coins from Qatar. It's not fair. Like, I watched I don't know if it's Nick Shirley, but one of those guys, the new Project Veritas kind of guys.
Yeah.
He went to...
the fraud
after,
guy?
After Minneapolis, one of these guys, he went to this ultra-Orthodox town in upstate New York called Kiryas Joel.
Uh-huh.
And it's just all chassids, right? And they're just doing welfare scams, right? And it was right after the Minneapolis video.
Oh, I missed this one.
And I watched it. I was like, well, if it's I was like, good for them. Honestly. Why can't they? I mean, what? Qatar's buying a shit coin for his crappy family.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why can't these guys just take over the school board and just why?
It's not. He's also pardoning all the people who did fraud. Yeah. A lot more fraud.
Nikki is so trying to. Her husband, right?
Who? Nikki?
Minaj.
Oh, now we're talking. Oh, I think you meant Nick Shirley. Now we're talking about Nicki Minaj.
Oh, Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj.
I'm just like, the part of the system is like you have to suck up and then you get to do whatever you want.
Yes.
Yeah, I was like.
Did you see Sam Bankman-Fried last night?
I can't stop looking at
it. He was tweeting that like he's become a Republican and like Donald Trump is actually great.
Good for him.
Which was very funny because.
Me too.
Like prosecutors, when they were trying him, were like, oh, here's a memo where he said that if he ever got caught, some advice he got was like one cool thing would be to become a Republican because then like Donald Trump might pardon you. And now he's like doing it.
Fine.
And he's probably going
to
get the
pardon.
What,
is he an idiot? He's not supposed to become a Republican? Good for him. I mean,
it's like, why wouldn't you do that?
He's supposed to be in jail?
It's probably going to work.
Also, his thing did work. Did you see that?
No.
Like the bet he made did work, but it was once he was in jail. Poor guy.
Poor guy.
We love him. We love him.
Yeah, he'll be on soon. I feel like every comedian
caught that. I think it did. I don't really know anything, but I think it did. Look it up, nerds. Yeah.
Every comedian who has a show where politics is discussed inevitably gets asked, like, there's some larger political goal they're trying to achieve. And the answer is almost like, I'm just a comedian. I'm just trying to entertain people, make them laugh.
Is that what they say?
Is that your answer too?
I try to be careful about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to like speak from a position of authority that I don't qualify to have.
What are your thoughts
like,
on
I
that?
Could do the homework 5 minutes before Lena Khan comes in and be like, is what antitrust law is. And I read it 5 minutes before.
Right.
But instead, like, I have my own opinions, obviously. When I had Richie Torres on, like, I felt like I could speak to, like, the situation in Israel. You know, like, because I've, like, you know, I studied Middle Eastern politics in college. And I lived in Israel. And I'm Jewish. And, like, I felt, like, comfortable enough to do it. But then when I see, like, comedians spouting off about fucking like public health statistics and like disease transmission, I'm like,
I don't know that.
We talk about our penises on stage. I mean, like, there's nothing that qualifies us for that. And like, but you can really say anything you want on the internet. So it's a matter of like, I could say anything. So I have to hold myself to a standard. I'm not going to go to jail if I'm like, Adam Freeland is the smartest man. Or, you know,
but like, is there any part of like, since you're interviewing a bunch of political people now? Is there any part of you that's thinking, okay, you have political opinions, you have political values, you clearly think the environment right now is very fucked up as it is. When you have political people on, is there any part of you who's like, I want the audience to walk away thinking, you know, maybe changing their minds, maybe...
No, it makes it fun, right? Like, if I'm not going to, like, spout off about, like, some House Resolution 3722, you know, whatever, like... Yeah. I can ask questions that they're not familiar with.
Right.
So I can just ask like a basic question about like, I do feel comfortable saying like, oh yeah, well, no one likes the government. Like, why do you want to be in the government? Right. Yeah. In a generic sense, that's a larger question that they kind of don't grapple with very often, you know, especially Democrats, because they're just like not used to like this kind of format.
No.
You know?
No, they had a lot of time. And the Richie Torres thing is interesting because I had heard about it because it was, you know, you made some news. But then watching it, like, and you're like this with a lot of guests, even guests that you don't agree with or, you know, like, you're very nice and respectful to these guests. Like, I thought you were to him too. Like, the idea that he walked off and was like, that was unfair. And you were understanding, you were disagreeing with him, but you were almost... You were hurt.
Well, the story is you have to find like what's interesting. The story there is that this person comes from extreme poverty and like represents the poorest district in Congress and is gay and like tried to kill himself and then made it all the way to Congress. I mean, that's like should be on its face an inspirational story. And then you see like, well, why the hell are you like you tweet about Israel like 80% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, how do you get there?
Right.
So that's like as a story, like you tell his background, you tell where he comes from, and then you try to understand. Instead of me being like, you shill, you know, like
right, you're not trying to get them. You're trying to actually understand the thing that you don't understand about them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I really don't want to have an argument. You know, I want to have like a kind of a conversation that reflects something like culturally. Oh God, when I talk this way, like culturally relevant. I don't know. The story there is like why this guy who comes from such meager beginnings and has accomplished so much and overcome so much, like why he lands here. That's the interesting story.
Do you feel like you got an answer on that from him?
No, I think that his assumption was that I was trying to trap him or something.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's just like, I'm a Jewish person. I'm trying to express to him, like, I was like, you know, you're speaking for the experience of Jewish people and I have a different experience. And then he was telling me that that was anti-Semitic of me. And it was just like, but like beyond that, it's like, I wasn't trying to put him in that position. I was really just trying to understand, like, how does it work when someone like, ostensibly he was very like idealistic and like driven and, you know, had a tough time in life and like went into politics and really went for it. How does it work where they like end up there? Cause that's,
yeah,
that's a good story to investigate. Right. And, the internet is all fucking people yelling at each other. Right?
All the time.
And it's like for $0. Can you imagine like these guys for zero, all of them? You're not even paying these guys.
No.
Right? Yeah.
No. Not at all.
No, like people are
yelling. We pay per tweet here.
People are like yelling at like the fucking the Secretary of fucking Agriculture all day long for $0. Just yelling at them. They're not seeing it.
These days, some of them are seeing it.
Yeah. The internet like bums people out.
I only yell at people online that I know they're going to see it.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. I mean, you're in the game, baby.
I'm in.
You're making money. It's your job.
Yeah. Not from the posting. Exactly. But not directly from the posting.
It's my job. If it were not my job, I would be a ghost. I would, yeah. I wouldn't be. It's insane to be. Yeah, I don't know, on the internet with an avatar of your, just like, I mean, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I'm the press secretary for Adam. Like, just shut up. No, I mean, but like, I have to do it because I'm online. But like, independent of that, like the attempt to make something that makes people feel all right.
Yeah.
Is I feel like noble, perhaps. I don't know.
And
if it does.
Very,
I hope it does.
It is very anti, I mean, even though it's like a YouTube show, it's very anti-internet. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. The new year doesn't require a new you, maybe just a less burdened you. Therapy can help more easily identify what weighs you down by offering an unbiased perspective to better understand your relationships, motivations, and emotions.
I'm only interested in biased perspectives. Not for me.
My
bread
also,
and butter here.
What's weighing me down? Nothing, you know?
Nothing. Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you, so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences. And their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, having served over 5 million people globally. And it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. We love therapy. We're just kidding. Plenty weighs us down, you know?
That's right.
And
that's right, we are kidding.
And boy, do we want those unbiased perspectives. Or at least we think we should have them. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/offline. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/offline. This is a show that we do here about the phones being bad, essentially. I know that you think the phones are also bad.
Oh, yeah, it's maybe everyone's
insane. How do you think the phones made everyone insane? I mean, there's a lot of different theories, but it's. I think it's maybe the worst thing that we're dealing with. I don't know if it's the cause of everything, but it is one of the main causes of all the bullshit that we're dealing with.
I'll respond to the question. Do you think that seeing two people getting shot in the head in the last week, we're like desensitized because like every time you go on Twitter, you just see someone getting shot in the head. It's like, oh, it's another getting shot in the head video.
Yeah.
You know that Adam Curtis documentary? Hyper normalization.
No.
So he like shows this montage of like movies where you see like buildings exploding and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That preceded 9/11. And the concept was that kind of numbed us to the terror. And like, yeah, it did look like Independence Day, 9/11, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we just see people getting shot in the head at like I really think the Minnesota video is like, yes, there's been a response that's like, this is insane. But like, perhaps it's even more insane than it's dawning on people because it's...
We see it
all the time.
My wife said this to me because she is...
She said, I want to shoot you in the head.
She did.
Yeah.
She maybe. Because she was in politics and then now she's not as much. So she tries not to be online as much. But after Minnesota was like scrolling and looking and she's like, we're not meant to see like this video all the time. And then you don't just see the video and have everyone be like, that is such a tragedy. How awful. You see the video over and over again and then you see this fight online with people who are like, that didn't really happen, or it's they deserved it, they had it coming, and you're just, that really gets you.
The fight that comes after that is like, just, that's the insane part, where it's just like, the guy didn't get hit by the car. He didn't get hit by the
car. He didn't hit the car?
We also, he didn't get hit by
this
the car.
This is why you feel
and
crazy.
They were like, yeah, he's doing like a slip and fall, and the ice guy has a neck brace now, and he's like, I was terrified. Like, we saw a lady get shot in the head 3 times. Just, the gun was like right there.
And then they're like, well, you know, she was mouthing off.
I mean, like, they're lying to our faces, really. And the people are going along with it. That's the really crazy part.
That's what I can't tell, though, if they're going along with it. Like, if they, in their heart of hearts, believe this and have been radicalized by all the bullshit they're seeing online. Or if they're just like, I got to be on the team and I got to just say it anyway, even if I don't necessarily believe it. This is like, I can't figure it out. I guess for different people, I'm sure. But
I know someone that works in the music industry, right? Yeah. And like the labels have like recognized that like stan culture is like a thing. Fuck the music industry. But they basically what they do is now they artificially create their bots. And then human beings see them and then they join. Yeah. So they mimic like stan like communities and then it becomes a real thing.
Yes.
And you know, what is the percentage of like accounts on Twitter that are bots at this point?
I don't know. Elon's been working really hard to cut them down, but probably a lot.
Who's doing the Holocaust Didn't Happen stuff?
Who's doing it?
Yeah. Is it Nick?
Nick yeah, Fuentes. Yeah.
Oh, I thought Mullen. I thought Nick. Oh.
Him. What? There's like a whole gang that he's
who's
got
like,
now.
I mean, there's just.
Sneaky. I don't know. There's sneaky. All these.
No, but those are real guys. I'm saying.
Clavicular.
But I feel like there's just so many like. Anne Frank wrote that in ballpoint pen. That couldn't have been.
Yeah, there's a lot of that too.
I feel like there's.
But it's hard to tell now between the bots and the real people.
Yeah, exactly. My understanding is that it was just a ton and then it becomes. That's scary to me. And then beyond that, I think that we were heading in this direction, obviously. And then we had to stay home for 2 years. And
that
we went on the phones.
Everyone up. I think everyone has PTSD from.
We don't have a
pandemic era. And like, we have collective PTSD and like, no one wants to deal with it. No one wants to talk about it.
Well,
so we're all just like, we're going to go on and be fucking nuts, the whole country.
It's a conversation that has to happen because, like, A, whenever that topic comes up, it's Fauci, the vaccine. That's the only part that's discussed. And like, yes, if I had to sit with my parents for 2 years, that would suck.
Suck.
It was so fun to see my friends in school.
Yeah.
You know? And the only way we discuss kids in popular discourse is like their genitals. Seriously, it's perverse. And like, we're like, these kids just like, they didn't get to see their friends for 2 years.
I know. And now that I have kids my kids are 5 and 2, all the time I'm like, if they had to be in this house with me and Emily for 2 years doing homeschool or like doing Zoom school, I would have fucking lost it.
Yeah.
I would have, like, I don't know what I would have done.
Beyond that, like...
of course the parents are all crazy.
People died of COVID.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I know far more people in this anecdotal that I know people that have committed suicide. I know people that have overdosed on drugs, people that have relapsed on drugs and alcohol. Like, while they were in lockdown, they were in recovery. And, like, that is not discussed. I mean, like...
I know.
And, I mean, beyond that, people just went on their phones. And then now they're fucking, I don't know, like...
What are your like social media habits and I imagine they're like you're not on all the time, but
my
like,
Reels algorithm is awesome. It's look,
that's,
the internet,
that's
the,
your thing. You,
my
you
Instagram
do
Reels is just
no TikTok,
funny.
Just Reels.
I don't know TikTok. I pay a kid for that, but like no, but same. My Reels are just funny. The internet used to be funny.
It used to be really funny.
It used to be a place you go online. 2010s
was a great.
And you'd
2010s
laugh
was a great
at the
time
internet.
For the internet.
You just laugh. You see a lady trying to stomp grapes and she fucking eats shit and then like
also then like something happens in the world
unforgivable,
and then everyone gets on and they all make, they have jokes about the thing that just happened
that
and they're inappropriate
fun.
And it's fun and whatever and now it's just like yeah but like what's your media diet, like how are you getting the news?
I'm working and thank God I just have too much work to do on the show.
So you're getting news just based on like if you have a guest you're like okay I gotta be up on the news on the
I'm researching for the next guest.
Yeah.
Just like getting New York Times updates or going scrolling the front page of the Times app and then reading articles. But like independent of that, like I told you, my sister called me and she was like, the fucking East Wing of the White House. I'm mad. And I'm like, what were you a fan? I was like, I didn't even know it could be a thing that you could be mad about. And she's like, I'm like, it's Trump. He's going to build some crap. He's going to build some gold crap. That's what obviously he's going to. Like the ballroom. There's concentration camps in America right now. There are concentration camps. People are mad at that they can't have a waltz in the.
This I was thinking this yesterday because I'm like, you know, like
I missed it. Sorry.
Like, so they're not going to have real investigations into the fact that the government, federal agents, just murdered two American citizens, and they're just going to sweep these under the rugs. And I was like, okay, people spent 3 or 4 months being like, release the Epstein files, which is, of course, yeah, they should, and they're releasing them. But I'm like, if people get upset about that, then we should definitely try to get upset about the fact that they're just covering up a couple murders now.
Yeah.
I mean what? What is...
it fucks me up, dude. We talked about it on the show when you were on it, but like... Yeah.
We recorded that December before the shit
very
really hit the fan.
Right before we planned the murders.
How have you been feeling since the Minneapolis stuff has gone down? Have you been processing it?
I don't think the next question is being asked, which is like, how many fucking migrants have been fucking shot in the head also? Yeah. Like, that's the question.
And the detention centers are, it's that, like in a whole other.
I understand. I don't want to go like, you know, white privilege. I mean, I'm from Cumtown, right? Like I'm from a problematic white guy podcast, but it's just like, do we not, we have to ask the next question. I mean, because like I grew up in the Southwest and I grew up around a lot of Latinos and like they're just people that want to make more money for their families.
Yeah.
And I think about the ICE guys and I think about like what it must be like to have a job where there's a kid screaming, crying, and you're like arresting their parents.
I know.
What is that job like? Like why, like getting that job and it's just like we abolish ICE. They're going to reintegrate into society. We don't even know their faces. There's something about like, I don't know. It is growing up around a lot of Latinos in Las Vegas and I was born in LA and like, there's something about them where it's just like, they're not doing daycare scams. They are just working as hard as they can. And I know it's like, they say it was Biden's fault. That's why we have to throw them in the cage.
Right.
It's a kid crying and like on a basic level, like we talked about this when you were on the show, but like does someone watch that and are they like, this is great?
Yeah.
Does someone like, does...
There are, unfortunately, there's like maybe a third of... I don't know.
Do you think watching the image of the kids screaming and like the guy like just getting thrown, like, and the guy in the mask, I mean, it's scary even just like the optics of it.
This is what I don't understand.
You think Jesse Waters is watching that and he's like, this is awesome.
There's one segment I think that thinks, this is awesome. There's another that thinks, oh, this is what happens because of Biden let all those people in. So this is what has to happen. It's Biden's fault that this happened.
It doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. Then there's the people who just lie to themselves and tell them. I was really upset about that whole story. I mean, I'm upset about 20 stories a day, but the one about the 5-year-old child, Liam, in Minneapolis, who's like, just you could sit in, and like, partly just because I heard every detail of the story, right? There's a million other stories like that, I'm sure. But he's like, he's 5 years old. Like, my kid's 5 years old. He's in his class. His friends miss him. He's in Minneapolis. And they take him. They grab him. Now he's in a detention center in Texas. He's sick. And the argument that you get from all the fucking MAGA people, and these aren't just like random, they're just like bots on Twitter. Right? These are like the MAGA influencers. They're like, well, the father abandoned him in the snow. And the vice president made this argument. He's like, what were we supposed to do? That was the ICE agents just supposed to leave him to freese in the snow? Of course they had to take him.
Yes, that's what people are saying.
And they're like,
should have left him in the snow.
And the mother didn't want him. I was like, oh yeah, the mother didn't want him. The mother who couldn't come outside because she thought she was going to get kidnapped as well. So now you moved him to Texas for what? And they're like, well, the ICE agents are playing his favorite music and he's going to be well cared for in this detention facility. Like, these are the things they say to justify it. And so they're like, you libs are freaking out because you think this poor five-year-old is like, we took him from his family, but actually it's just a normal operation and the mom didn't want him and the dad didn't want him. So thank God for the ICE agents. Like, this is the story that they tell.
Whether they like it or not, there are people that live around us that do crap that make things work in our society.
Yeah.
And we think of them as furniture.
Yeah.
And when you put it in that context of like, these are the people we're doing it to, right? These are people like that have zero power in society. And it isn't mass deportation. It's this, Trump is getting pissed at a new city and then just at random like doing this. There's no like, you could just see like, I don't see like, he's not hitting ag, is he?
No, not yet, no.
I don't think, no, he said he wouldn't. You know, like,
they're not going to red states. They had a crazy operation in Maine that was doing similar shit to Minneapolis. And then Susan Collins, because she's up for re-election and they need her to keep the Senate, like, said something to Kristi Noem. And then yesterday they're like, all right, operation over in Maine. It's like, oh, I thought it was a serious, I guess you could just end it whenever you want. I guess it's not that important to do.
It really just fucks with me.
It does.
It fucks with me
too.
Because it's like, we watched these two people get shot, but like the next question has to be like, how many fucking people have been shot before?
Shot?
We don't know.
We don't. Or just,
like, just
shot,
that.
Sent away, sent to third countries.
Disappeared.
Tortured in a prison, abused in a prison. These detention centers.
Many of them legal. Most of them nonviolent.
That's the other thing is they're telling the story of like people running across the border illegally and just laying around and like getting all this, you know, public benefits that aren't just there. But like most of the people now that they're grabbing are people who came here, are waiting for an asylum hearing. And even if you said, okay, I want to deny your asylum claim, you could do it in a way where you're like, your claim is denied. Let's take your family and we're going to bring you here and like you have to leave, but it's still terrible, whatever. But like you certainly don't need to be grabbing a kid, grabbing a mother, separating them, throwing them in a detention center, having them just like sit there and rot in these fucking terrible conditions for a year and then deny their asylum claim. And then, I mean, like,
law enforcement is supposed to keep us safe, right?
Right, right, right.
Like, how does this keep us safe?
It does not. It does not.
It doesn't keep us safe whatsoever. It's just unflinching cruelty, evil. I mean, it's
evil.
Just evil.
I know what else
and
to call it.
And it only now seems to resonate. I'm glad it does, but like it didn't dawn on me like for a while. And then I spoke to one of the episodes we did, which is now, we did it months ago. Shit. fuck. Congressman was describing to me what the Florida detention facility is. The
alligator Alcatraz.
And yeah, it just didn't dawn on me. Like, I understood in abstract, and then that was kind of the moment the penny dropped. And I'm like, I said it to you last time we talked, but like, when you learn about how this shit's happened before,
yeah,
like, I'm Jewish. Like, you know, it's not as if the entire country of Germany decided overnight to be anti-Semitic, right?
Yeah.
That's not how it works. Like, what happens is they'd see people get taken, they see their businesses closed, and they go to the office the next day. You know, and like, and then if I look in the mirror and I'm like, yeah, I went to the fucking office the next day, you know, my life wasn't really disrupted.
Right.
Maybe if a fucking thing of blueberries is $9, you know, I mean, but like, people just like went to the office the next day. They had the Dundies and like, you know, like if whatever they were doing in Germany with Dwight Schrute.
They were always having the Dundies.
Yeah. They had a guy named Dwight Schrute for sure. In the German office. But like
there's a lot of paper mills.
But it wasn't like they were sent to the East, you know? They were.
This is what I can't figure out though, is like you mentioned those ICE agents and like how do they go home? And you wonder how to have a country with people who have those jobs and do that. And like, is there humanity in those people that you are trying to reach and be like, hey, come back. Come back to the light. You know, or because like, what's your other option? To just like jail them all, kick them out of the country too? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I guess like you have to ask a bigger question. I guess like, how does it happen?
Right.
It's probably because of the phone. Has to be.
Well, I thought that too. I was like, some of these people who think, you know, that Renee Good or Alex Pretty deserved it, or that it's great that we're putting them in these detention centers. Like, if it was someone on your street, in your neighborhood, even if you didn't know them well, who they either shot in the head, or it was someone who was cleaning your house that you knew, that you saw all the time, and someone just grabbed them and took them away from their children. Like, even if you're a right winger, you'd probably look at that, right? And be like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
I hope. Maybe not. Maybe you're like, that's great. But like,
I want to think that human beings, yes. I mean, I want to think that people are good, and that if they saw, if Jesse Waters saw it happening, he'd be like, fuck.
Yeah.
You know? But then I think about these guys that are actually doing it.
I know.
And then I'm like, what that? It goes a step beyond. It's like, what compels a person? It's dark. I mean, I just have that image of just a family being like separated.
Yeah.
For a job? Start a racist podcast. What are you doing?
No. How cool are the Democrats? They're going to fix things, right?
Who have you been
impressed with that you've had on?
Jon Favreau.
Of course. That was my leading question.
Pretty much. Alec Baldwin. I think Chris Murphy was good.
Yeah.
I thought
Murphy was great.
I think Mom Donnie did. I do think we can sniff bullshit on people.
Yeah.
I think it's condescending that people are going to fall for crap. And I think that they can tell, like, I mean, some of the worst people I know from growing up, some dogs I grew up with,
yeah,
who were like, this is a radical Islamic terror, you know, like, who were going hair on fire. Like,
I'm Donnie.
And first of all, they didn't live in New York. That's what the news was telling them.
Mm-hmm.
The news was telling them that he was going to do the Sharia law and that suddenly New York, it would be illegal to be Jewish. Or
is
like,
it is funny.
In New York.
I notice a lot of like right wing people now being like, I'm glad that Mamdani has moderated as mayor and as more. And I'm like, has he, or did you just buy into a caricature that the news told you about?
Because and the Democratic Party and
Cuomo
but beyond that, those guys, like, I got texts from those guys afterwards, and they're like, while I still disagree with his politics, he seems pretty fucking chill, actually.
Yeah, that's
and I was like, for the sake of the city, it's like people needed to calm down, and that made me feel like good about like people responding that way, but. The show's cool, and I really enjoy doing it, but, like, I'm very careful about, like, where I see myself interacting with this kind of stuff.
Yeah. In what way?
I don't want to overstep my bounds. I don't want to be irresponsible.
Mm.
And I don't want to start loving the smell of my own farts, you know? And it's very easy if you're, like, gaining an audience and people are celebrating you.
Yeah. You should have all the 2028... candidates, potential candidates on.
We got one coming on next month.
Because I feel like, who's that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, great. Oh, that'll be fun.
Welcome to your funeral. Yeah. Of course, we're talking about Mr. Gordon.
For me,
Gekko.
That's a good test. If they can hang with you for an hour on your show.
Well, now Democrats just say the F word. That's their thing. And Trump, fuck you.
Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer's like tweeting, tweeting fuck.
Fuck to you. Fuck to you, Donald. No, the depressing thing for me was like when he's like, he wants to reform. Like when he said body cameras, I was like, do you realize there was 1,000 cameras around when we saw someone getting shot in the head? What is it? One more camera going to do?
Yeah.
And we got the body cameras. We're fine now. We shut down the government and we got some of them don't work. And they do also have the controls to turn it on and off. They also have the ability to turn it off whenever they want. We're going to figure out the manual. I haven't read it. That's what's going to happen. They're going to shut down the government, and they're going to get body cameras. And
this is what they want to tell. Like, this is my problem with
Democrats. So Democrat.
But they've also become so afraid of people criticizing them for not being tough enough or fighting hard enough or whatever that they are unwilling to just be honest about, like, the real limitations. Like, here's the thing. They could shut down DHS for, like, the rest of the year. And it wouldn't do anything to ICE and ICE's operations because 100%. They have all this fucking money from the bill from last year.
Yeah.
So they can still do it. Which is like one thing you might want to say if you're going to shut down the government is like, hey, we'll do this. And the body cams are like fucking great. We got them, but we're not going to celebrate over that. But we can get a few tiny things. We're never going to defund ICE until there's a Democrat elected president.
They
because,
say over, over, over again, abolish ICE, abolish ICE. That's the only option.
Right.
They have to say, we have to end this program.
But even now, there's like, you got to say abolish ICE, you got to say abolish ICE. I'm like, here's the thing. No one, the first opportunity you're ever going to get to abolish ICE is January 2029. There's zero chance of it happening
fine.
Before that.
They're pro-ICE, you're anti.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Politically, that's how you distinct, you make it. Yourself
yeah.
distinct.
Yeah, ICE is bad.
We're going to get a, GoPro. Shut up, you idiot.
Well, the other thing is, like, there's a lot of
we're
things.
We're going to get a fuck pro. A fuck pro. There's a... We're investing in fuck pros for all of the... They're going to do POV. Oh, no, sorry. We always talk about nasty stuff.
We do. Are you going to... Are you really going to do Abby Phillips' argument show? Are you supposed
if
to be on that?
Let me on.
I saw you
if
say
Scott,
that.
If Scott wants to, at the end of it, you to put a, the nail in the coffin.
Can we do prep before that?
I don't know what the
that?
Topics are. What is it they're good just, to kill the, everyone? Yeah,
it's probably that. It's like news of the day. They're just going to come right at you.
Oh my God. I'm just going to like sit there and be like, this is ridiculous, guys. I'm going to do John. You got to cut this. I'm going to do the John Stewart. I actually, the sweater.
Yeah.
You got to go sweater.
Yeah.
I'm going to go cut all of this. I'm going to go sweater Stewart. Sweater Stewart.
Yeah. Millennial fucking sweater Stewart.
Scott's going to be peeing his pants like Paul Begala. Paul Begala, you remember what he looked like?
Scott drives me insane. You were very respectful and nice to Scott.
Well, I was just like,
you
what?
You did the thing at the
you
end
just
about
say, like,
the,
what are you
the,
talking
the porn,
about?
The porn in libraries, the porn in the kids' libraries.
That's all you have to do is just ask them what they're talking about.
And he was like, so, no, there's some porn in the kids' libraries. And you're like, what? Give me one example of porn.
I was
porn.
Just like, what are you, well, yeah. I'm like, okay, it's bad if they do that. So what are you talking about? And they're like, look it up. You could look it up. Yeah. Their whole thing is that their girlfriend goes to Canada. And if you ask that, like, it's just like the Democrats take the bait every time. Because the Democrats have to be like, their normal response will be like, we celebrate the porn. We celebrate the beautiful porn. That and
we
like,
want our
fuck.
Children to be able and to look
like,
it.
And they're like, fuck. Oh, shit. We did it. Fuck, Scott, again. I fell for it again. The gorgeous, the beautiful porn.
Porn for all.
Well, it's just like, they're like, it's good. And then but the opposite is not it's good. It's like, that sounds not real.
Mm.
Like, I bring up this example a lot. It's like, the Little Mermaid is black. They're like, they're mad about it. And then instead of being like, for all the black Little Mermaids out there, this is a moment. And instead of just being like, hey, it's a baby movie and you sound like a fucking pussy right now. You're sounding like a pussy. You're upset about a baby movie? You're in the government and you're sad. You're
fucking pathetic.
Oh, you ruined my childhood? Shut up. You're an adult. You sound like a pussy. You just have to like actually be mean to them back, in fact.
No, I agree.
Instead of being like, and this is the Wakanda of mermaids. It's just like, shut up. Who cares? It's a baby movie. I don't, like, it doesn't matter if the Little Mermaid's black.
You're taking a knee in a Kente cloth.
I can't stand this.
Because of the Little Mermaid.
Why do I know this? And Chuck is like, wait, the... Chuck is like, the fucking black mermaids. We fucking... We're going to get GoPros on the... They're going to fuck this. Oh, God. Anyway.
Anyway. Well, thanks for
like
coming
Lewis
on.
I feel like Lewis Black right now. I'm ranting.
Come back hot next anytime.
Fun. Fun, dude.
Let me know. Let me know how Abby
feel
Phillips
like,
goes.
I feel like we do good.
We should take this on the road.
Yeah. Dude, fucking. Yeah.
All right.
Where do you want to go?
I don't know.
The Grand Old Opry?
Yes. I want to go to the Grand Old Opry. I'll see you there. Two quick notes. Crooked Media Reads newest book, Hated by All the Right People, Tucker Carlson and the Unraveling of the Conservative Mind, is out now. It's by Jason Zengerle, one of our favorite political journalists. It is fantastic. You can get it wherever books are sold. You can go to crooked.com/books. It's getting outstanding reviews about the rise of Tucker Carlson and how it mirrors the rise of MAGA. So go check that out. Also, a lot of you have asked for more Pod Save America, and now we are adding another episode, a bi-weekly new episode of Pod Save America for subscribers only. It's called Pod Save America Only Friends. For the first episode, you got all four hosts. It's out now, but in the future, we'll have sort of a rotating cast of Pod Save America hosts and Cricket hosts. And, you know, we're just going to talk more about the news that we haven't been able to talk about on all the other Pod Save America shows. It is very funny. You have to be a subscriber to get it. We're putting a lot of stuff behind the paywall these days, new stuff. So if you subscribe to become a friend of the pod, you will get ad-free episodes. You will get our growing number of Substack newsletters, which are excellent. You will get Only Friends and Dan's Polar Coaster show and all kinds of other shows. So please subscribe. And you'll also get the confidence to know that you have help support independent pro-democracy media, which is great. So, crooked.com/friends, become a subscriber, and you can check out Only Friends. As always, if you have comments, questions, or guest ideas, email us at offline@crooked.com. And if you're as opinionated as we are, please rate and review the show on your favorite podcast platform. For ad-free episodes of Offline and Pod Save America, exclusive content, and more, go to crooked.com/friends to subscribe on Supercast, Substack, YouTube, or Apple Podcasts. If you like watching your podcast, subscribe to the Offline with Jon Favreau YouTube channel. Don't forget to follow Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and the other ones for original content, community events, and more. Offline is a Crooked Media production. It's written and hosted by me, Jon Favreau. It's produced by Emma Illich-Frank. Austin Fisher is our senior producer. Adrian Hill is our head of news and politics. Jarek Centeno is our sound editor and engineer. Audio support from Kyle Seglin. Jordan Katz and Kenny Siegel take care of our music. Thanks to Delon Villanueva and our digital team who film and share our episodes as videos every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.